Happy Mother's Day. I look out here in the audience and there are quite a few mothers here, and we give you a special thanks for all that you've done as a mother, as a Christian mother. We're going to look at godly mothers today, and I tell you, it's hard to imagine life as a Christian without the influence of Christian mothers. The impact that they have. You know, men, we do a lot, and rightly so, but I tell you, it's hard to overestimate the impact and the influence godly mothers have on developing young men and women that will become Christians. It's hard to overestimate. If you would turn in your Bibles to Proverbs, the 31st chapter. We're going to read a passage. I'm going to look at a number of verses here. I notice a lot of people have to put their glasses, you know, reading glasses on to read. I have to take mine off. One of the things, before we get looking at this passage, we see such a good example of what a good Christian wife is in this passage. What a good example this woman portrayed here in Proverbs is as a Christian mother, you know, to her children. The fact that this woman provides for her family, she's not lazy or idle in any stretch of the imagination. A very wise woman, very generous. Again, all of these things, including the exhibiting good behavior, are all not only examples to her children, but to those in the community, to her neighbors, as what a good Christian, godly mother should be. I don't know if anybody's mother was ever perfect. I know mine wasn't. But there was one thing that I could say without certainty, that she loved me. And would have done just about anything for my benefit. Tom mentioned in his presentation some circumstances of why some of the children might show up at the New Mexico Christian Children's Home. Sometimes, you know, hopefully we all had good mothers. Sometimes, maybe due to bad choices, maybe due to circumstances, maybe circumstances beyond other people's control. Maybe people don't always get to see a perfect Christian mother example in their lives. But we can see it in other ways. We can see it through other people. We can see it through the Bible. And I would like for us to look at this and read this and keep these things in mind of what a good, godly Christian mother is. Starting in verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That is an absolutely wonderful passage right there of what a good, godly mother should be and is. It's a far cry from some of the accounts also listed in Proverbs, where it shows some women as a continual dripping, just that constant nagging sound, where some women are portrayed in Proverbs as contentious or as a harlot, or that destroys her own household with her own hands. Numerous passages in Proverbs. I love how Proverbs ends with this portrayal of a woman. In 1 Timothy 5:13, Paul writes to Timothy and he said, "And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not." That woman in Proverbs 31 is not this kind of a woman. And we see so many places in Scripture, and I'd like for us to look at a few examples. We see some negative examples here. We see positive examples all throughout the Scriptures. I love how the passage in Proverbs 31 ended, where it says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing." I tell you, I don't know if there is a woman ever been born that didn't want to be beautiful. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. That is a godly woman right there. One of the examples that I often think of is Lois and Eunice. They were Paul's mother and grandmother. And in 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." What a wonderful, it speaks volumes. We know the man and the character that Timothy was and became and worked with Paul, and what a good Christian young man he was, the foundation he got was by his grandmother and his mother. It's hard to imagine what Timothy would have been without the influence of them in his life. Another example is in Acts 16, Lydia. Lydia was a woman that Paul would encounter. Paul went out by the riverside and confronted the women where it was custom that they met together to pray. And in starting in verse 14, it says, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God." I tell you, that right there, that introduction, that one verse says an awful lot. She was a woman, a businesswoman, but the description of her, she worshipped God. That's how she is being described by Paul. She worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Not only did she worship God, but her heart was open to listening to Paul's message, to the gospel. And she wanted her family to listen to it. And the result of that, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, they were baptized. And here, after being baptized, she wanted to extend her hospitality to aid Paul. We see an awful lot about Lydia in just a couple of verses. In the meantime, Paul's going to be going out preaching. He's going to wind up in jail, get out of jail. And in verse 40, skipping over to verse 40, when he got out of jail, it says, they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. First place he goes when he gets out of prison is to Lydia's house. It was a welcoming, open home full of hospitality. And now a sister in Christ. Another example, we don't know anything about Rufus. I know very, very little about Rufus. But in Romans 16:13, Paul is closing his book, his letter to the Romans, and he says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, and mine." He sees Rufus's mother as his own. I'm sure I hope we have, people that we have in our lives that may not be blood related, but that we associate and have a close tie to like this. Paul thought of Rufus's mother as his own. She probably assisted and ministered to him and was of great comfort to him and loved him as she did her own son. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Jesus was perfect, and we look at the example we have in Mary, and it's unbelievable. In Luke, the second chapter, it says, starting in verse 16, "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." We look at our children. as little babies. We saw some photographs in the presentation of some newborns. And I tell you, we look at our newborns and we think they're going to do great things. We know they are. We're their parents. Can you imagine being told and other people say, this baby is the Savior, the Messiah. The things that He's going to do. Mary kept those things and pondered them in her heart. Down toward the end of the chapter, in verse 46, it says, after 3 days, and this is years later, when Jesus was 12, they went to Jerusalem. And this is the account where they lost Jesus. They're in the huge city, about the size of Las Vegas. They can't find their 12-year-old son. I know me, I would be going nuts. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And skipping over to verse 51, it says, then, after they'd found him, they're going back home to Nazareth, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. She'd never forgot the things that were said about her son, about what he was going to be and do. She's seeing these things taking place. Here he is, a young man, 12 years old. At 12 years old, I wanted to put my son in a closet, lock the door, and slide him food under the door. Jesus was a little bit different story. Here he is sitting with the teachers, listening, taking it in, asking questions, and the people were amazed at his understanding. And as they were going down to Nazareth, here he is, the Savior. He was obedient to his parents. He was obedient. We always say we want to be like Jesus. Kids, if you want to be like Jesus, be obedient to your parents. Jesus was obedient to his parents. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. In John 19, we skip over to the end of Jesus' life. Hopefully I can get through this one. I can't imagine this. I cannot imagine seeing your son die. In John, the 19th chapter. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, standing by, which was the apostle John, and the disciple whom he loved, standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son," talking about John. "You look at him as your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Jesus had brothers that could have cared for Mary. He wanted, talking about Rufus earlier, this was a situation. Jesus and John, Jesus loved John. He's described as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He wanted his mother to be cared for by my best friend. "Mom, here's your son. I'm leaving. He's going to be your son. John, you take care of her." And from that hour, Mary became his mom. In Matthew 27, we see an example of some women and many women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministering to him were there looking on from afar. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John. These women ministered to Jesus. Women, I've heard women say, oh, there's not much we can do. Women ministered to Jesus, the Messiah. They ministered to Paul. Paul made a beeline when he got out of prison to Lydia's house. Don't ever underestimate the power of your service in the kingdom of God. In Titus, we see an admonition that Paul gives to older women, older mothers. Verse 3 says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. I'm going to stop there for a second. That's a learned behavior. Love is not an emotion. I guess there are some emotional aspects of love, but love is not an emotion. You learn to love. You make a decision to love. These older women are taking the younger mothers under their wing and teaching them how to love their husband when they leave the toothpaste cap off. How to love the children when sometimes all you want to do is not love them. They admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. I love in Proverbs that there's nothing worse, you know, that a woman that lacks discretion is like, you know, a gold ring and a pig snout. It's ugly. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, and that the word of God may not be blasphemed. That's our whole goal, is to not blaspheme the word of God. And by doing these things and not doing some of those things, we glorify God. Mothers, if you want to be a godly mother, and I tell you, some of you may not be mothers yet. That may be in the future for you. Teach. You've got to teach your children. You've got to guide them. A godly mother guides their children. Just doesn't say, okay, I brought you into the world, you're on your own, have fun. Unfortunately, there are plenty in society that do that. A godly mother doesn't. They influence. You look at the influence Timothy had from his mother and his grandmother. And they serve. They serve God. When they're serving their family, they're serving their God. When they're serving the congregation, they're teaching their children what it is, how you behave. When how they react to other people, they're teaching their children. When things don't go their way, when they win, when they lose, how to disagree with the father. They teach their children that. Mothers, I'm not wearing a hat, but my hat goes off to you. You're a great influence in the church. You young ladies that are not mothers yet, you keep this lesson in mind. Keep these scriptures in mind. Young men, when you look for a wife, if you choose to do so, look for a godly wife that will be a godly mother. This lesson really hasn't been one to lead you to the path of salvation. It's been a reflection of what godly Christian mothers should be. Before you can be a Christian, you've got to put your Lord on in baptism. If there's a number of people here, I don't know. If you haven't been baptized, you're not in Christ. You come into contact with Christ's blood in the waters of baptism. That's where your sins are forgiven. The people on the day of Pentecost asked Peter, "What must we do to be saved?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." If you haven't put your Lord on in baptism, this is a good day to do it. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sins, this is a good day. Whatever your need, please come forward as we stand and sing, and Daryl leads us in the invitation song.